I want to welcome you this morning to The Bridge. We're in a series that we've entitled The End, in part because it's the end of the Bible. We're going through the book of Revelation, in part because Revelation is known for speaking to the end of times here. We're going to the middle of the book this morning. We're going to literally hit the midway point. We're going to end chapter 11 of a 22-chapter book. And we're going to go through some things that most people miss, and I pray that it'll grab your heart and that today will mark a day in your life that you'll never forget. Let me first start by taking you to the beginning of the book of Revelation, just to remind you. Chapter 1, I just want to read to you verse 1, verse 4, and verse 8. And I'm going to take you to where our passage begins this morning. And before we're done, I'm going to take you to a walk towards the very end of the book. Just to give you a reminder, we're halfway home, and I want to give you God's framework around the book of Revelation. And I pray that you'll see a personal application, not only to you as an individual, but to we as a church this morning. Hear God's word. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, his doulos, his servants, what must soon take place. Verse 4, grace and peace to you from him, him who is, him who was, and him who is to come. Who is he? Verse 8, I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Do you want to know who you're listening to today? It's not a preacher. It's Christ himself. This is God's word that we're sharing. You are hearing God. He says this now in verse number 15 of chapter 11. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. We saw at the beginning of the book that this is the revelation, this is the story and the revealed truth of Jesus the Christ, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty. This morning at the halfway mark, having traveled through what most of you have been through in terms of the seal judgments and the first six trumpet judgments, we're now living through God's word at end times, approaching the second coming of Christ. His church has been raptured up out of this existence, and all hell has broken loose on earth. And now in verse 15 of chapter 11, we hear, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. We have made a transition of ownership. Christ has not returned yet, but do you hear it? He has taken over. His kingdom has been initiated. The best way that I can describe this analogy to you, because in the Greek, what you have is a way of speaking that says it has not happened yet, but it's a done deal. Have you ever been there? Here's the analogy that I have. We used to move a lot in the corporate world. Most of the time in our early lives, when we would buy a house, you'd take possession 30 days after close. We signed the papers at the beginning of the month, which meant we took ownership. We owned that house. We didn't get to move in and make it the reality of our home for 30 days later. But make no mistake, we owned that home. It was a done deal. Some of our young people here, you say, I've never bought a home. I can't relate. How about this? How about hanging out with your friends doing what you knew you ought not do? doing what you knew if you got caught, you'd be smoked. And all of a sudden, here comes your mom or your dad. You know, they're pulling in the driveway. You may be 30 or 40 yards away, but you make that eye contact. They got you. You know what I'm talking about? Been there? And your friend looks over and says, dude, you're dead. It might take 30 or 40 steps, but you know it's a done deal. That's the text that we have here. Christ has not come yet, but John is telling us we're at that point. He's telling us he's in the driveway and he's looking at us right here. Here I come. It's a done deal. I have a question for you this morning in that place, knowing that it's coming. I ask you this with the passion of one who's been called by God to reach out to you and to say, don't let this time come and take you off guard. Knowing that this is coming, have you ever asked yourself, what then? I want you to be haunted with this question. What then? When you know that you're at that point and Christ says, you and me, it's a done deal right now. What then? The gentleman has written a song called What Then? And I've put a video to it and brought some of the context of what end times will look like, coupled with the context of what right now looks like. And I ask you, as one who knows the end is coming, who says not in the power of a Baptist preacher, but on the word of God, it's a done deal. What then now? Watch this, and I pray that that question will run through your heart for the rest of your life. What then?
The question I have is, what really is going to happen? When the great book is opened, and each one stands facing his record, what then? What then?
Less than 33 minutes away, the whole city, their whole life could be annihilated.
Trumpet. When the film has flashed its last picture, and the billboard displayed its last run, when the crowd seeking pleasure has all vanished, and gone out in the darkness again, when the trumpet of the ages is sounded, and the great book is open. What then? What then?
What then? What then? For you, what then? Better question, what now? How do you live now? In preparation for then. That's the whole purpose of God's word, is to give us a revelation of his truth, a preparation that we would know the story of all creation, that we would live in a place where we would not be taken off guard, because none of us have been guaranteed even another breath. None of us know what the ride home is going to be like. Miss Rita didn't know that she would be going home with shortness of breath. Have to share the love. What then? I ask you, what now? This passage that God gives us is designed to help us with that answer. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm going to take some time to walk you through where we are going as a church family. One, that you will know. Two, that you will be inspired. And three, that you will hear the voice of God calling to you personally, saying, what then? What now for me? The point here is that you see that the transition has already begun. At this stage, while we haven't reached Armageddon, we haven't even begun to untap the reality of all that we're going to see about the Antichrist. That starts next week. But right here at this point, the transition has begun. It's a done deal. Listen to what God's word says. And then at that point, realizing that the kingdom of our Lord has become the reality. It says, and then the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God, quote, fell on their faces and worshiped God. We need to be living lives of worship and praise. If you would, Kenneth, put up the Tamion ministry graphic. I want you to know that as of last Friday, your Bridge family began a new ministry. We call it the Tamion ministry. Prayer ministry. Tamion is what you'll find in God's word, where we're called to go and find our private closet, our private room where we get alone with God, where you have a designated special spot to commune with God. We as a Bridge family, through the grace of one of our family members, have designated a home every other Friday night from 7 to 9 o'clock to be a place of prayer, where we will fall on our face before God and worship him. Why? Because it's our privilege to do so. We will be children who worship God intentionally. Again, I call you as a member of the Bridge, as somebody who may be curious what it is to be a part of this family. I call you to a life of prayer. I tell you that we will be a people who fast and pray, not out of obligation, but as a privilege to enhance our ability to commune with God. To let him know how much we love him, to give him glory, and to increase our ability to draw closer to him and to hear him. As evidenced by what the raptured church is doing in heaven. I told you when we went through that original passage early in Revelation, if you don't want to worship God down here, you don't really want to go to heaven. You want what you think heaven will give you, but you don't really want heaven, because heaven is perpetual worship. We have initiated last Friday with 11 people spending 2 hours on their face before God, doing nothing but praying as a privilege. every other Friday night. You're welcome to join us. I give you that invitation. At the same time, I tell you, and you've heard me say this before, you can have as much of God as you want. Don't call me and complain that you're not hearing from God. You can have as much God as you want. God's word continues. He says, and the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, this is what they said, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Again, it's a done deal, even though he hasn't come yet. The text and the grammar in the Greek says this is a reality that has not yet happened. And when you say that doesn't make sense, I just want to remember. I want you to remember when you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar. You were dead meat as soon as you were caught. That's what God's word is saying right here. It's a done deal. Now let me point something out to you. And this is the piece that I told you earlier. It gets missed. And this is incredibly powerful. I shared with you from the beginning Revelation 1:1, 4, and 8. Three times you see in the book of Revelation where we're addressing Christ's return as the one who is and who was and who is to come. The one who is and was and is to come. Note the auspicious absence of the last piece here. We give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was. Because, where's the and is to come? You don't need that anymore once you get to the end of Revelation chapter 11. Because the one who is to come came. The one who is and was and is to come is now the one who is and was because he's right here. You no longer need the future tense because it's right now. It's a done deal. At this stage in the book of Revelation. And you say, what's the big deal, Pastor Jeff? He's going to come anyway. I knew he's going to come at some point. Why are you making the big deal about this point? Because you need to know that there's going to come a time where it's too late to apologize to the Christ. There will come a point when it's going to be too late to apologize to Christ. This is that place. There's a young church like ours who's done a great job of putting this into a drama format where you're going to see a representative portraying Christ saying, hey, listen, I've called you to me. I've done all that I could and you kept putting me off, blowing me off, kept telling me it was going to be later. This drama that I'm about to share with you depicts this verse right here. The one who is and who was and, end of sentence, because he's here. And now it's too late to apologize. This drama is going to be the reality for those people who are playing games with God. Those who want to date Jesus but not marry him. Please don't let this be you. Please don't wait till it's too late to apologize to Jesus.
I'm holding on your rope, got me 10 feet off the ground. And I'm hearing what you say, but I just can't make a sound. You tell me that you need me, then you go and cut me down. But wait, tell me that you're sorry, didn't think I'd turn around. You say that it's too late to apologize. Like
Did you notice there's no happy ending? When that time comes, there's no do-over. This isn't a Walt Disney film where somehow, some way, they'll work it out in the end. When it becomes too late to apologize, too late is too late. It is another reason why we've entitled the series, The End. Because when the end comes, the end will come. Now you say, tie this in, Pastor Jeff. Where's that personal piece? Well, let me bring you back to God's Word. Here again, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Verse 18, the nations were angry. We've been through an awful lot of depiction of what this wrath of God will look like. And we've seen it will literally be hell on earth, not only in the physical, but we've even seen an unleashing of spiritual demons to torment the unbelievers. And yet again, those that have rejected Christ will not, in that time, turn over and surrender their hearts to Christ. They will not surrender to victory. They will not give up and let go. They will choose instead to harbor anger and bitterness, pain and suffering. And what God's Word tells us is that will be so. It's a done deal. He says, the nations were angry and your wrath has come. When it becomes the end, it will be the end and it will not be pretty. What we saw in just that little 4-minute piece about what then, what you've seen in other depictions as we've walked through the judgments, horrific nightmares that our minds can't even get close to the realities that will be. And yet those that reject Christ will continue to reject Christ. He says the time has come for judging the dead. It's time where God will come out as judge and say, let's take a look at your life. I asked you earlier, what then? Forget about what then, what now? Because this is the basis upon which you will be judged for all of eternity. Who are you now? Don't show me a laundry list of religious deeds done. Tell me about who you are, the essence of your being. It's a heart thing. Are you in love with Christ? I hope so, because he says this, the time has come for judging the dead. He says, judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, your doulos. Here at the Bridge, we use some Greek words on purpose regularly. That's one of them, servants. You saw it at the beginning of the book in verse 1. You see it here again. The servants of God. Again, I'm getting personal now with our church family. This week, we initiated and launched a new ministry called the Doulos Ministry. A doulos is a devoted disciple. A devoted disciple of God is a doulos. Doulos is Greek for bondservant or slave. A blessed slave of Christ. One who says, I understand that my purpose for being, to be devoted as a disciple of Christ, is to be a doulos. That I am to be a servant of God, a blessed slave. And now I'm going to get personal. And I'm going to tell you straight up, I met with some of the leaders of our church earlier this week and I apologized to them. I personally apologized. Because we have some ministries that need doulos support. And I told them, I am not leading a healthy disciple making church if and when we have ministries that have opportunities to touch the community, but we do not have doulos devoted disciples who are committed to filling those. And I'm calling you now as a body to get alone with God this week. You see, normally if you have a what would be called a volunteers drive, I am not interested in leading volunteer drives. I'm interested in leading people into becoming devoted disciples of Christ, which is to understand a call to be a doulos. For in the doulos life, is the blessings and the promises of God, evidenced here again. I'm calling us as a church family to the privilege of serving. I want you to know that when we talk, you may want to avoid me in the hallway or the frozen food aisle, because I'm going to ask you where you're serving. I'm not going to ask you if, I'm going to ask you where. I'm asking you how many places God has given you the privilege to pour out. If you'll work with me, Kenneth, we have a children's ministry that we call Bridge Builders. It's got three divisions, nursery, little K, Kidmo. We're devoted to building disciples out of the children of our community. And if you have a healthy record, and we will do a background check on you, if you have a healthy background, if you're willing to answer God's call on your life, we will give you the privilege of serving the children of our community for the express purpose of building young disciples in Christ. We have three buses now as a church, two purple and one that's sitting as a smaller one. We now have three bus drivers. We need about 10. There's a place called Fisher Manor with over 50 children, most of which have said they would come to church if we could get them. We need enough bus drivers to know that that ministry will be sustained regardless of the flu or a transfer in work. If you've got a healthy driving record and a clean background check, we'll give you the privilege of driving a purple passion wagon for Jesus. That the children in our community, and not just the children, we have a handicapped equipped bus so that we can pick up the handicapped, so that no matter who you are or where you are, if you hear God knocking at the door of your heart, the Bridge will come and get you. We've owned those buses for over 2 years. They've not made a Sunday morning pickup yet. I'm calling us to become a church full of doulos, privileged slaves for Christ. Normally, there would be a bunch of sign-ups out back. You see, the way you do this is you get people either revved up with adrenaline or you guilt them. And then you give them places to sign up, and you get them while they're hot. I have nothing for you to sign up for, because I don't want to get you when you're emotional. I want you to go home, and I want you to be with God for a week. And I want you to ask Him, Lord, reveal for me what You would have for me. Lord, break my heart with the things that break Your heart. Lord, call me to that which I am meant to be. Next week, I'll have opportunities for you to sign up. We will be transforming into a church of doulos, devoted disciples. No guilt, all privilege. No obligation, all calling. God's promises and His rewards are there for those who will answer that call. This morning, you want to know how pertinent and how personal God is? I had somebody come to me and say, God laid Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5 on my heart for you, Pastor Jeff. Here's what God says to Nehemiah. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, the one who keeps His covenant promises of love with those who love Him and obey His commands. We've been called to be a people recognized for our servitude, not as the Bridge on Kent Island per se, but as Christians, as children of God. They should know us by our love for one another. Love that is an action and not just a promise. You say, whoa, Pastor Jeff, you know, life's pretty busy around my place. Things are pretty hectic. I understand. That's why I don't have a sign-up sheet for you, because I don't want you to do something today that you'll feel guilty for later. I want you to go and get with God and ask Him to set your priorities for you. See, I don't know if I can get to church every week. Yeah, I understand. Talk to God. It's not about going to church. It's about giving your life over. Say, well, I do that whole 10% tithing thing. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. Jesus doesn't talk about 10%. He talks about all of your life. Well, that's a little steep now. See, this is why I don't go to church. You get a little pushy with this whole servant thing. Yeah, I'm speaking on behalf of somebody who went to a cross and put nails. You as a nail, by the way. in his hands and feet and hung till he died so that you'd have the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. So if you get a little squeamish about a few hours a week bringing love and light to somebody else, forgive me if I don't care. Okay? I'm not here to lower the bar so that you're comfortable coming to Christ. I'm here to turn the light on and let you know that you've been saved by a Savior who gave his life up for you. And he calls you to live a life of servitude. He calls you to be a doulos with a smile. If you don't like that, I can't help it. If you don't like it, I promise you, if you try it, you'll love it. It's the difference between living for self and living for Christ. That's God's truth. You say, wow, where do we go from there? And we take you back into God's word. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants. Please hear that. I'm not calling you to get in a long food line where it's going to be a life of misery. I'm calling you to get in line to live a life worthy of God's reward, which, by the way, will begin here as a child of God. The song, Born Again, when that becomes personal, and every day it's like a new, where you're not in a religious rut or a routine, you'll thank me for this call. Either that or you'll run away. It's either tormenting you with truth and love, or it's an invitation that you'll be forever grateful for because it'll draw you closer to the Lord. I'll wait to hear. In the meantime, I'll take you down to the middle of verse 18. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints and those who reverence your name, both the small and the great. I'm going to take a break. We have four people that are going to come down right now, and they're going to live this verse out for you. If you would, Joyce, begin to come. Let me read it for you again. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name. Baptism is not a time where you become a Christian. Baptism is a time where you tell the world that you have given your heart to Christ. It's where your walk and your talk come together. Both the small and the great who reverence the name of God, both small and great. I pray that you'll join me as we celebrate what it is to be in the presence of transformed lives. Those who want to come publicly, as expressed in the Word of God, the Bible tells us, to go and be baptized and to make a public profession that says, I am his and he is mine. I've traded in my pennies for God's $1,000 bills. I no longer have a permanent home here on earth. I've taken up residence in heaven, and I'm down here on borrowed time. Jason, would you come first? Wow. You're very blessed. That's like bathwater. Normally it's like ice. Okay, watch your step. Jason, I need to ask you, my brother, why are we here? What is this to do? What are you saying today?
I've let God enter my heart, and he's spoken to me many times, and it's been a long time that I haven't listened to him. And the last time that he spoke to me, my kids were involved and they almost lost their lives. And that was the eye-opener for me, that what I was doing wasn't right and I needed to follow his path and not my own. And that's why I'm here.
Is Jesus your Lord and your Savior, Jason?
Yes, he is.
Amen. Why don't you sit, my brother? I pray that some of you have had the wake-up call to let you know that the path you're on is going to lead to a very dark, hot place if you don't change course and give your life to Christ. Scary when we see those that we love the most jeopardized and put at risk in our sin, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I know that place, and I think many of you do as well. I thank God that you have surrendered to victory, my brother. Jason, it is now my honor and my privilege as your brother in Christ to baptize you, my friend, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's something else, isn't it?
That is.
I want you to see God used you as a microphone to speak into the hearts and lives of probably 150 people this morning. Thank you for surrendering. Thank you for saying yes to Christ. Come on, my brother. In the last few weeks as a church family, we've seen a lot of different shades of courage. I pray that you're not missing any of them. Katie? I want to introduce you to Katie, a young lady who's been introduced to our church family and who's been a part almost from the very beginning of serving. She was with us and was an integral part of our Vacation Bible Extreme. God used her to touch a lot of little hearts. And in the process of being used in touching, was touched herself. I can't tell you how important it is that you embrace a call to serve. We have been saved to serve. Your richest blessings will come as you pour yourself out for Christ. Katie, when you sit, can you tell me why we're here in your case?
I wanted to have something to believe in, and I didn't really have that before, and I finally got a calling from a fellow youth group member of mine. Had been sent to the hospital in a car accident, and she was in a coma for 3 days, and our entire youth group prayed for her, and 3 days later she came out of it and she was pretty much all better, and that gave me hope, and I felt like I had something to believe in again.
Is your hope in Jesus Christ,
yes.
The person of Jesus?
Yes.
See, your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Katie, I now again have the privilege of baptizing you, my young sister, my fellow doulos, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. David, are you next? David and... David is more than Katie's friend. They are boyfriend and girlfriend, but that's not what I mean by more. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
David, you've been in this position before, but you haven't been in this place, have you? I want you to share with us, why are you here? And if you would, tell us the fullness of what God is doing in your life. That's all right. You can put it out here.
Okay. I just wanted to tell everyone that I still believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I also wanted to let everyone know that for a future career, I would really like to become a pastor for my future job.
Amen. And called to lead God's people. Called into the ministry.
Yes.
Amen. If you want to know whether or not God is active in our midst, you don't have to pinch yourself. Just look around. Just look around. I know that next to NASCAR driving and professional football, pastor is like number 3 and the coolest thing in the world to announce. Right?
Yeah.
Not exactly. I said to you, we've seen a lot of courage. You know what's cool?
That's cool.
As I know that you know, it's not courage to make that announcement. But to the world, it seems like it must be because of what it takes. But you're announcing a privilege, aren't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. David, are you here to let the world know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. We're going to start spending some time together getting you ready for a life of called servitude as a shepherd. An under-shepherd for the Christ. Amen. Doesn't get any better, I promise you. Even if guys get scholarships for sports, it's not going to be any better than your walk, I promise. David, it's now my honor and my privilege, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, Michael. I want you to know that these baptism services, they take a great deal of teamwork. Thank you to Joyce and Al Jones who bring this all together for us and those that help transport the equipment. And even so, as Joyce will tell you, we've had a couple of conversations where I explain this always comes down to the last minute. We have some people that were drawn away with illness that aren't here today that we thought would be here. And we have some that we were not expecting until about 10 o'clock on Friday night. When if you like getting texts, let me tell you, there's no text better than Pastor Jeff. This is Michael. I'm ready. I want to be baptized. I want the world to know Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. It's the best text I've had in a long time, my brother. Tell me, why are we here, Michael? What is going on in your life?
Well, my grandfather died in 2001 from cancer, and it's actually really hit me that I want to be saved and have Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Michael's been with us for a few months, and we've seen a remarkable transition where God has really grabbed a hold of your heart, hasn't he?
Yes, sir.
It's more than going to church. How long is your drive to get here each day?
About an hour.
About an hour. To get into the presence of God, where there's a known call on my life, where there's a fit, and not a religious cocoon to go to. Michael, it is amongst my richest blessings to see what God is doing in your life, and I am so excited to watch as the blossoming continues. You continue to just surrender to victory, give your heart to Christ, and I promise you the adventure that is coming is one that you wouldn't trade with anybody on the planet. Okay. Well, now it's my honor and my privilege again to baptize you, my young brother. Brother. We're pastor and all that, but we're brothers now.
Amen.
Amen. For the rest of our lives, we're brothers till we get home in heaven. It's now my privilege, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can I have one of those, Alan? Thank you. Amen. What just happened here didn't change eternity. It's the announcement of, it's the sharing of a changed eternity on all of their parts. Now, get ready. The adventure begins. You've seen it already, I know, as you've come to Christ. It's not always easy. It's going to get crazy, but now, you've already told the world. There's nothing else to hold in. Now just go and be the light. Be the church. And know that God's rewards are waiting for you as you live out this call. Amen? Let them know how much we love them. Amen. Well, we've got one more verse to carry through in the passage this morning. I want to share it with you. It's verse 19. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the last part of verse 18. Not only do we see God's promising the rewards for his called children, the doulos, the blessed slaves, the saints, those who reverence his name, but we see at the end of verse 18 that it's also time to do the destroying of those who are destroying the world. And if you're an environmentalist and you think, great, here's Jesus getting on board with the environmental movement, that's not it. He's talking about those who would do the work of the enemy, those who directly and indirectly are pulling people away from God's truth and love. There will come a time under God's justice. As we said, it's a done deal. Here again you see it. It is time in God's word for destroying those who destroy the earth. There will come a time where it will be too late to apologize. And you won't be sent to time out. For those who reject Christ past this point, it'll be over. Destruction will come in a very real sense, in the form of an eternity separated from Christ in a very real hell. Last verse says, then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of the covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and great hailstorm. My friends, the Ark of the Covenant was something that was held in the inner temple. It was designed to represent the promises of God to his children. It was a wooden box about the size of a military footlocker, covered in gold. And in it were the remembrance, those things that were designed to remind people that they were children of God. There was a saving of the manna that God sent from heaven to sustain his people. There was a rod that was used by Aaron. There were the Ten Commandments. To see here, as John looks up into heaven and see the Ark of the Covenant now being revealed, is to tell us, Jesus wants you to know that the chosen people, those that have given their hearts to him, they now sit and stand and are in awe of the promise that is the fact that he is with them and will be forevermore. My friends, we have an Ark of the Covenant that is personal to the bridge. And I now show you that graphic. This is our logo of the Ark. The agape, which is Greek for Christ-like love. The Agape Regional Community Center. We have an Ark. We have been called of God as doulos, as fully devoted disciples, to build an ark on God's behalf to bring to the people of our community. This will be the instrument of our expression of truth and love. You see, we will meet people like Jesus would, right in the midst of their needs. We won't say, hey, look at our pretty church, come be with us. We're going to build a place that meets needs. And up to this point, it has been something that God has laid out in the form of a vision. We knew we were heading in that direction, but this past week, I want you to know that I heard God say, it's time. It's time. This is going to be a long process. Begin the process now. And I want to share with you from Nehemiah again. I showed you where God's promises and rewards wait for those who faithfully obey. Well, I also heard from God this week in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. And here again, we're personal now to us as a church family. We were invited to serve as a parent church, to be the big brother. They said, you know what? All indications are that there's great DNA in the bridge. That's the kind of DNA that needs to be multiplied. Would you please parent or consider parenting a new church the way you were started and parented by Weems Creek? It's a very good idea. It's a very, very good idea. The number one way to grow the witness in a world that desperately needs Christ is through church planting. And we said we would most certainly entertain the idea and we'll pray about it. We'll also pray about the idea of opening up a second campus. And we'll also pray and say, Lord, would you have us continue on the path we're on, treating Centerville as an extension of our community. Well, we met with a lot of people. There was a team of 5 representing your church that went and met with a team of about 10 to look at the specifics and the particulars of it. And I want you to know that after that, and praying, what I heard God say is, I've called you to build an ark. in the Kent Island community. You know that you have heard me. And while there are good ideas all over the place about other things that can be done, I've called you and the bridge to build an ark in that community. I have not called you to other good ideas. If you read Nehemiah chapter 3, as Nehemiah has been called to build the wall around the city of Jerusalem, something that had not been done in over 150 years, something that was seen to be impossible, something that could not be done, God called Nehemiah to it, and it was accomplished in 52 days. And just as he was approaching the last stages of that, and his enemies, and those that the enemy would want to use to distract him, were calling him away in similar fashion to us being called to Annapolis for a luncheon to talk about all the good ministry we could do, or being called to Easton to get together with a bunch of churches to do some good work. I want you to know that the good is not always good when it becomes the enemy of the best. When is it wrong to do good? When the good that you'd go and do would cause you to be disobedient to the best that Christ has called you to. Nehemiah responded to those that would pull him down for a good conversation with what we know as Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. He sent a message back, and this was the message, and this is what I heard God say to me this week. I am doing a mighty work, and I cannot come down. I am doing a mighty work, and I cannot come down. You, my friends, we, the bridge, have been called to a mighty work, and we cannot come down. We have been called to build an ark of hope and truth and love and needs meeting ministry in our community. I can't promise you that I know what that's going to look like on the other side. I can't even tell you what it's going to look like as we ramp up. But I'll tell you this, he woke me up Friday morning and began to give me dictation on a strategy and a plan. And it's pretty comprehensive. We're going to begin to pray as a church family that God will lead us and reveal to us who it is that we're to be, the particulars, because you see, we're not going to come through this under our own ideas. We're not going to work through good ideas. We're going to wait on the Lord, and he's going to reveal every single decision. We'll become a people that fast and pray and fast and pray, fast and pray. And he will receive all of the glory, all of the time, in all aspects of this. I tell you that as a people that are being spoken to in Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19, where God himself wants you to know that the time has come for the judgment process to begin. Revelation 11, that's the place. As I started, I said to you this morning, what then? What then is best understood by looking at what now? And for us to be prepared and to live out that life, waiting for God's reward, is to step up to the plate and say, as a doulos, I'm yours, Lord. All of me, all yours, all the time. Just show me. And the answer is yes, no matter what. We're called there as a church. We're going there as a church. I invite you to come with us as a doulos, a blessed, smiling doulos for Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come this morning as a people who know what it is to have your call on our lives, be it the four that want to say publicly, I am a child of God. Here today, I want the world to know that I am his and he is mine. As a people, as a bridge to a lost world, carrying the one true message of life and hope and promise and power, Jesus the Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen our walk, that you will give us the resolve to press through the storms, that you will carry us each and every day. Remind us constantly that we're to remain humble, that we are not instruments of our own will, but that we are merely, powerfully, your hands, your feet, your lips, and your fingertips. It's in Jesus' name that we all prayed and said, Amen.